I figured the easiest way to strike up conversation with other attendees at South by Southwest Interactive would be to ask them, "Do you have a blog?" But I quickly learned the more interesting question was, "How many blogs do you have?"
I blog with lots of different hats. I sort of have a couple of group blogs I work in that are like very focused, one on politics and one on sort of like community gaming. And I have my own blog. So that is a lot of blogging energy for me.
That's David Jacobs, an attendee from New York. He certainly wasn't the only one radiating blogging energy. At times, every corner of the conference seemed to scream, "Blog!" On a single day, there were back-to-back panels on blogging for business, Moblog Nation, monetizing the blogosphere, and Blogucation 101. You could socialize with A-list bloggers, attend the Bloggy Awards, and even post your own thoughts on a handful of conference blogs. I was very curious to know what people at the conference thought about the Dean demise and whether it had affected their ideas about online communities and blogging as a way to impact politics. Walking through the halls, blog enthusiasm ran so high, it was almost like the Dean bubble had never burst. David Weinberger, author of the book Small Pieces Loosely Joined, and a fellow here at the Berkman Center, explained to me why the blog energy remained so feverish.
It was a bunch of blogging enthusiasts, so it takes a lot more than losing a presidential campaign to dampen them. I mean, And besides, from a blogging perspective, the Dean campaign was a huge success.
That's not the same conclusion that mainstream media has drawn. According to one of the most popular theories, the whirlwind of commotion surrounding the Dean campaign was merely a vortex of bloggers blogging to each other. They call it the echo chamber. David Weinberger had a thing or two to say about this idea.
It's a powerful metaphor, and that's an important reason why I think it needs to be swatted down as soon as possible. It pulls together a set of beliefs about conversations and about the internet that are, I believe, just wrong. And first is that conversations are places where rational people get together to exchange views. So in a real conversation, somebody should change her mind. And that's not what conversations are. That's an extremely rationalist view of a conversation. A conversation is a bunch of people talking about something that they care about in common. There's always an element of commonality in a conversation, else there is no conversation. So if you went to the Dean weblog where the hundreds of comments were being posted, thousands every day were being posted, yes, most of them were from, the vast majority were from Dean supporters. But they weren't just standing there going, "Hooray, Dean, yay, Dean," although occasionally that as well. There were people who were talking about how he did on the debate and how he might do better, and here's an idea for a campaign slogan. That's conversation. That's how it works. That's not an echo chamber.
And according to David, the conference itself highlights the flaws in that theory.
No, South by Southwest is as good an example as any conference of ways in which when people get together, they do not form echo chambers. Instead, they find things that they care about and they discuss, and sometimes they argue. And that's exactly what goes on at a conference, on the panels and in the hallways. It's what goes on in every conversation.
Weinberger wasn't the only believer in online communities at the conference. Some of the biggest names in internet organizing came to speak. Joe Trippi, former manager of the Dean campaign. Eli Pariser and Zach Exley of MoveOn.org. Craig Newmark, the founder of Craigslist, and Jonathan Abrams, who created Friendster. I was surprised to find that all of their stories about online communities followed a similar trajectory. They were prompted by a simple personal need. Abrams built Friendster as a way for him and his friends to get dates. Craig Newmark built his list to tell friends about a party. Newmark wanted to tell a bunch of friends about a spaghetti dinner and a storytelling event.
One of the first events that I sent out on the list was Joe's Digital Diner in San Francisco.
What began as a list to tell a bunch of friends about a spaghetti dinner evolved into a website where San Franciscans could post apartment listings, jobs, and garage sales. Craigslist now operates in 35 cities and is viewed by 4.6 million people a month. There are also smaller, local versions of these communities springing up everywhere. Just ask Mia Kennedy. She accidentally started one.
I think I moblogged for quite a while without even knowing that people were looking at it, not even knowing the context.
How long? Like, when did you start?
I can't remember. It was a couple months into it, and I went to a mobloggers meetup, and people knew who I was.
Whether it's blogging, moblogging, or social networking, the shared use of technology is what brought these people together. Before the internet, these communities just wouldn't have existed. The genius of the technology is that the internet is not only a platform, but an easy-to-access pipeline for participating in an online group. But is a great big mailing list or a website enough to really make a community? At the conference, we had mailing lists, websites, blogs, and moblogs, but it was hard to tell if these things made us more of a group. David Horisco, a graduate student at the University of Texas, thought that all the emailing and blogging was just the opposite of interactive.
It's what we would call in radio dead air, because you see people sitting in circles and they're not blind or anything. They all have speech capacity and everything, but they're all doing their own little thing. Instant messaging people, and it's static instead of dynamic.
Walking through the halls, you could see what he meant. Clusters of people sitting cross-legged with their laptops. But Horisco was the only person I heard over the four-day conference who voiced a complaint. Peter Rojas, who edits the technology blog Engadget.com, explained to me that being connected on the road has become industry standard.
I think one of the things that's I'm becoming really used to is when I go to a conference, seeing everybody with laptops on Wi-Fi, and I think it's becoming sort of a standard thing that when you go to a thing like this, that you can be able to get online, you can like blog, and you can, you know, take notes and chat to other people.
What I really wanted to find out at South by Southwest Interactive was how these online communities would function, not just in real time, but in real space. But according to blogging luminary Joey Ito, this distinction had a fundamental flaw.
I think Americans always think about cyberspace and real life as two different places. But in countries where you have mobility, the network is part of the real life. And that's a very different experience than sort of diving into cyberspace 2 hours a day or 5 hours a day.
Maybe Ito is right. Maybe wireless technology will blur the lines between online and offline so much that they become indistinguishable. But that's not what it felt like in the conference halls. Either people were looking at their monitors, or they were being at the conference. The disjunct between the two seemed most striking as I sat in the audience at the Moblogging panel. Before the speakers started, all three panelists pulled out their camera phones and slick handhelds so that they could Moblog each other, and the event, and us.
We all feel like, wow, there's something going on, and let's, you know, work with it.
At South by Southwest Interactive, almost everyone seemed possessed by this pioneering spirit. The arguments and the passion for new technology were persuasive. I left Austin ready to return home, log on, and meet up. But the real test of the tools will come in the months ahead, when these prime movers of online networking must do more than simply send RSS feeds to the already converted. They'll have to deliver a message powerful enough to inspire action, and most importantly, follow through. You've been listening to Audio Berkman. This broadcast was produced by Benjamin Walker and myself. Thanks to John Palfrey, Charlie Nesson, and everyone we met at South by Southwest Interactive. My name is Mary Bridges, and thanks for listening.